All right, good morning, welcome. This is, and really, I got to be honest this morning, I did not plan anything. I just love how God puts stuff together. This is a topic I was thinking of when we were in the book of Acts, looking at different things. And so I'm doing all this, and then I find out this week, it is Pentecost Sunday. Now, remember I told you, you got 50 days from resurrection to, 40 days from resurrection to ascension, then 10 days, or 50 days in total, Penta 50 Pentecost. So this is a Sunday that we celebrate Pentecost. So I did not plan this. I just love how this comes together. And so if you can think back, 50 days ago was Easter. How about that? Right? Time flies, okay? And what I want to do today is you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5, and we're going to get there, okay? I want to set some things up when it comes to the phrase, be filled with the Spirit. I want to set some things up and help us, and then I want to go into that statement by Paul, because it's in a complete statement he makes about being filled with the Spirit. But we're going to want to back up and say, why do we want to talk about this? Part of it, because, and I hope you saw this in the book of Acts, and just our little bit of study about prayer, that the early church was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Right? Peter's like, you remember what they said about Peter and John? Man, these are uneducated guys. They didn't go to rabbi school. They're not like us. How did they do this? And then they said, they noted that they were with Jesus. Jesus promises what? That he will give the Holy Spirit. Now, before that, I'm going to tell you what one of our biggest problems is, okay? And it's where we live. Because we grow up with this whole idea that we want independence, right? And that's what we talk about all the time as Americans. We have a declaration about it. And sometimes that creeps in, and I want to be independent. Nobody can tell me what to do. Anybody in here who's dealt with teenagers, or currently, you know what this is like, right? They want independence. Let me do what I want to do. And you're like, oh gosh, where'd this come from, okay? I'm just telling you, it's engraved in the fabric of our country. It's not to diss our country. I'm telling you why this is hard to be dependent upon something, because we grew up, okay? I certainly did. America's great and awesome, and we're independent, and you need to be independent. Nobody tells you what to do. And the problem is, that's just not the way it works in Scripture, and that's not the way the early church operated. So I want to tell you that there are things in our culture and life that are going to push against this being dependent upon the Holy Spirit. There's just good things that are going to push against that. And you're going to be like, where did those come from? Because we learned, be independent, be independent, be independent. And that's what, come on, every parent in here, that we desire for that for our kids. They grow up and they be independent, independent. And the problem is, in doing that, at times we get so carried away with independence, we don't realize the dependence we're supposed to have on the Holy Spirit. So let me back up. John 15 and 16. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and what he will do. We looked at all these passages and what Jesus promised. When the Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He is going to help you to say what you need to say in certain situations. Right? All of these promises by Jesus about the Holy Spirit. So when you go into Acts, this is the last thing we're recorded in Acts 1:8, that Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he told them what? Stay in Jerusalem until Pentecost. At Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Just the next chapter. Chapter 2, this is Pentecost, and this is the phrase that is used in chapter 2, verse 4 in the book of Acts. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you caught this a couple weeks ago, but guess what happens when you turn to chapter 4 and we start talking, remember the prayer we looked at? That prayer that the early church prayed because they are facing persecution, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are telling them, stop talking about Jesus. And so they offered this prayer. Did you, any of you catch it when we were looking at it? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody go, wait a minute, whoa, didn't that already happen? Didn't that happen a couple chapters ago? And so maybe you're not like me and think like me. This is what I think. Does the Holy Spirit leak out? Like, is there a hole I got to plug because the Holy Spirit is just going to leak out of me? Because obviously, if they're filled in chapter 2 and they're filled again in chapter 4, what happened in between? Did they lose it? Did it just disappear? What happened? And it's that phrase that I want us to really dig down on today, because I wonder if we understand that, and or we just, again, have this effect where, oh yeah, I've read that 100 times. You filled the Spirit. What does it mean? I don't know. You filled the Spirit, right? Well, why is it in 2 places in the books of Acts? Because I believe this, and I think this is taught, and I want to show you this, that there must be a daily surrender to the Holy Spirit. And as you heard in the song, I wanted just to set this up. We need a fresh wind and a fresh fire daily as we walk with Christ. In fact, can I just show you that in Scripture for a moment? Remember what Jesus said? He must, everybody wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross. Oh, there's that word, daily. Wait a minute, I thought I just did it once. Nope. Jesus says, this is a daily thing, and follow me. That every day, I must decide, I'm not number one. I'm not number one. I'm way down the line. God is number one. If you get the order wrong, I'm telling you, this messes up everything in your life. And we don't understand that at times. You mess up everything when you get the order wrong. And I know, we have good intentions. So sometimes we're like, oh, family's got to be number one. If you do that, you're going to mess everything up. Whatever is number one, okay? Well, it's my spouse. It is my kids. It is work. Don't go there, okay? Whatever you put as number one is the thing you worship, is the thing you're giving yourself to. That's what we call idolatry when it's not God. That something else is number one, and I'm giving myself to that. And it says, you got to daily decide this. In fact, you know what Paul wrote in Romans 8? Those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. You think this is once? No, this is daily. Daily. Some of your translations will say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Again, that's a daily, daily thing. Every day, I must surrender myself to the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, to do what he has called me to do. Okay? The concept is daily. Daily surrender, daily live by the Spirit. Now, I have to set that up because when we go in Ephesians 5, there's something really important he wants to teach us about this concept of being filled with the Spirit that I want us to kind of grasp today and get a hold of. Okay? So this is Ephesians chapter 5, 18 to 21. This is almost like a complete thought. Okay? I'm just telling you, if Paul was in my English class, the teacher would probably tell me he had a run-on sentence, okay? Because this isn't long. This is a long statement that goes on here as he's teaching the church at Ephesus, okay? Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Okay, a word where it's like, what? I haven't used that word lately, have you? Okay, it just means excess. And in fact, the word that is used there, it's one of those things, we don't know how to translate it because it's a weird word, okay? The word for salvation in Greek is soteria, okay? This word here is asotera, anti-salvation. He's just saying, if you want to go things in excess, that leads away from God, that leads away from all the things that God has in store for you. And there's lots of things he could have added there. And he says, don't do that, but here we go, be filled by the Spirit. Here it is again. He's saying, don't go in that direction. Don't go and don't follow things. They're going to take you away from God, away from what he desires for you, away from him, okay? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, this goes right on, okay? Speaking to one another. See, that's just a comma, okay? He didn't period that. Because there's things that are going to happen as the Spirit fills us. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. Again, another comma because he keeps going. Okay? Always giving thanks to God the Father for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Comma. And submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. All these things are tagged on to this, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, when I'm filled with the Spirit, it changes the way I talk. It changes my relationship with God. Look at this. You're making music in your heart to the Lord. You are giving thanks. You become a thankful person. You're filled with gratitude. And what? Submitting to one another. Yeah, that terrible S word nobody wants to talk about, right? Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I guarantee you, I know this word gets a bad rap. All of you came to church today, okay? You practiced this. You know how I know that? When there was a stop sign, you stopped. When there was a red light, hopefully you didn't gun it to make it through, okay? You stopped. You obeyed the law. So you know what you just did in that moment? You submitted to the local government who has set up all those traffic stops and all those stops. That's what you did. I did, right? Because we only think about this in a negative concept as he continues on after this to begin to define that. But this is what he's talking about. When you're filled with the Spirit, look what happens. Look what takes place. Look what happens and what it produces in your life. This word is bigger than just the word filled. Greek's a weird language, okay? So it's just bigger than that. It almost reads, keep being filled with the Spirit. Continually be filled with the Spirit. Lots of ways you can say it. We just say it, be filled with the Spirit, because that's the easy way to translate it. But it's bigger in the way that Greek is. It says, keep being filled. Like you got to do this more than once. You got to do this more than once. Because all too often, why is it keep being filled or continue to be filled? Because all too often, I don't depend on the Spirit. So let me ask you something this morning. How do you know something is full? How do you know something is full? For example, okay, you pull up and you get gas, okay? Is it full because you keep getting inside your car and checking the gauge? No. Is it full because the pump shuts off? Well, the pump shuts off. That's good enough. I will tell you what I do. This happens always on vacation because I'm like, I'm going to get every extra mile I can on this road, okay, before we have to stop again. So you know what I keep doing? I keep pushing because I found out when the pump shuts off, you can actually get more gas in, okay? And all depends how big your vehicle is, the more you can shove in there, okay? And so I will do that until it comes out, right? Oops. I've got some on my shoe. Get back in the car. What's that smell, right? Why would I smell gas, okay? That's my fault. I want you to get this concept, okay? Okay, we don't think of it this way because we would think, oh, if somebody wants a glass of water, hey, that's good, right? That's probably too full right there is what we would say. But is it full? Well, no, because there's still more space. There's still more space. And if you know it's full when, oh, it went over. See, now I know it's full. I know it's full because it went over. It went over. It overflowed. So that tells me, oh, okay, I make sure I have that now full. Could this be what Paul is trying to get us to understand? Could this be what he is trying to drive home to this church in Ephesus about being filled with the Spirit, about being full? That in being full, there is overflow. That fullness just leads to overflow, right? Of what comes out of our lives. So if we went back, okay, do you remember what Jesus said? In one of the conversations with the Pharisees, where the Pharisees were challenging him about, you can't eat that, right? And I forget what the context was, but right? And then Jesus makes this statement. What defiles a person is not what goes into the mouth. It is what comes out of the mouth. Because it's what? It's the excess. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's whatever's in there overflows and it comes out. Right? And that's how you can always know what is going on in your heart by often what comes out of your mouth. Even when it's really surprising. And why did I say that? Who? I shouldn't have said that. And by the way, this doesn't mean just the spoken word. You can actually get really snarky, and I've done this recently, right? On a keyboard, in a chat, yeah, right. It just comes out, right? And you're like, oh, where'd that come from? Oh, it came from this. It came from here. It came from the integrated heart, mind, will that is called the heart in Scripture. And he says, that's what's coming out. So Jesus is already talking about this idea of overflow when he's trying to get the Pharisees to understand. Do you understand what's coming out? That's what defiles you, because that is showing you what's in your heart. In other words, this whole thing is inside out. This whole thing is inside out. And how many of us have been told it's all outside in? It's all outside in. I just got to put on a show. Got right? Right? That the door of the church is the veil to walk through, where all of a sudden I just leave everything outside. I just leave how bad the day's been and what's going on in my life, and I just put on a fake smile and tell everybody I'm fine, because that's the veil, right? I got to look the part on the outside. This is what we're told all the time. This is what legalism goes to all the time. It always goes to the outside. It always goes to the outside. It never starts inside out, which is what Jesus constantly was trying to get the Pharisees to understand. When he would tell them things like, you are whitewashed tombs. You're whitewashed tombs. Inside, you're dead. You don't practice inside out. You practice outside in. And I need you to think differently about the kingdom, that it's inside out. It is inside out. And that what I want to do is change everything so it changes everything that comes out. So what if we've been back to this passage that we just talked about in Ephesians 5? What if everything he's talking about, they're like, oh man, that's giving me another list today of things I got to do. I got to speak to one another in Psalms. How do I do that? Do I go to people and say, the Lord is my shepherd? How does that work, right? And we get all confused on some of this stuff. Because that's what, if you're thinking this is a checklist of all the stuff I have to do, you have thought wrong. This is inside out. This is what Paul's saying. Oh, remember this overflow? This is where this comes from. There's where this comes from. It doesn't come, you're going to try harder and you're going to buck up because you're just going to buckle down, practice some self-discipline, and you're going to follow this checklist, and you're going to say, God, look at my checklist. No, and he's going to say, you got this wrong. I don't know you. Inside out. Inside out. Inside out. So what if everything he talked about comes out of fullness, the fullness of the Spirit? When I am filled with the Spirit, to flowing over, that's when I speak to one another. That's when my speech is different. That's when there is music in my heart to the Lord. That's when I'm giving thanks and experiencing gratitude. That's when I can submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he continues on in the rest of the chapter to talk about what? Husbands, wives, parents. What if he wanted us to do all of that out of the overflow? Out of the overflow that the Spirit wants to produce in our life. What if he wants to do that? What if he wants to do that? Because I'm just going to tell you, we have got to get back to what God's Word says when it comes to all those things we just talked about. Husbands, wives. See, we've learned too many bad habits from culture, and we've just followed them. And we got to stop that. We've got to stop it. Because we're just destroying things. We're just destroying things. You know it's bad when the best thing you've heard from marriage in our culture came from the kicker of the Kansas City Chiefs, right? If you heard any of that, you're like, oh, man, that's fascinating, right? The kicker got it right, okay? And let me tell you, whoo, they want that guy's job. They're trying hard to get that guy fired because they're like, ooh, we got to make sure you don't say things like that, okay? That's, whoo, gosh, stop talking like that, right? They get really upset about that. And it's like, don't we have free speech? Anyway, so that's what I'm talking about. Where is that? Where is that overflow in our lives that goes into our marriage, that enters our home, that is there with our family, that shows up in the way we talk to each other, and shows in the way we have a relationship with God, and shows in the gratitude that we give them, and shows in this submitting to one another out of reverence Christ. Perhaps we've got this whole thing wrong, and it's supposed to be out of the overflow. Except, come on, can we just be honest for a moment? Most of us, the light comes on before we start thinking anything, right? Come on. You've been there. Some of you might be there today. Some of you have been there in the past where you try to run on empty. Bad place to be, right? Bad place to be. Because when you're running on empty, I can guarantee you some things, okay? Nobody wants to hear what's about coming out of your mouth because you're upset. There's a lot going on. Forget gratitude, right? You're complaining. God, I can't believe this. God, I can't believe that. That's just coming out of a heart that is just empty. That is just empty. And I think all too long, we run on empty. We run on empty. And he looks and he says, that's because you weren't created to run on empty. You created so that my spirit would come and dwell in you, and from the inside out, you could be refilled every day and you could be full. You could be full. That daily step would help every day, that you would be refilled, and that it would change everything. It would change how you approach work. It would change what happens in your marriage. It would change what takes place in your family. Over and over again, it would change everything. That's what we got to get back to. This idea of daily surrender to the Holy Spirit, that he would work in incredible ways in our lives. In our lives. Stop taking your cues from what's around you. Stop taking your cues from whatever's popular that you watched. And I'm just telling you, the family is not honored in probably 99.999% of anything you're watching. Okay? Oh, here he goes. Tell him not to watch it. No. I'm just telling you. You better understand that. You better understand that. So that you don't take your cues from that. Don't take your cues from it. Don't think, oh, that's the way you operate a family. Oh, that's the way marriage should be. No. Our culture gave up on that a long time ago. And even in our own state, we gave up on that so long ago that when judges made a decision, they called up people in counties and marriage license got changed. You know, if you go today, can't go today. Sorry, it's a Sunday. Okay, if you'd go tomorrow morning, and you go to the county recorder, and you would say, "I need a marriage license." You know what it read for you? Party A and Party B. It's a contract. It is a contract. I am sorry. This word says, Jesus says, no, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. And while, and maybe you were part of that, and this is over a decade ago, some of those judges got thrown out. Anybody go back and change the illegal Party A and Party B? Nope. Nobody ever did. They had no authorization, but they sounded like they did. They threatened people's jobs and all sorts of stuff, and they changed all this stuff. Anybody go back and fix? No. Nope. And I'm telling you, that's why you cannot take your cues. Marriage, family, from anything in culture. It is going to lie to you. It is going to tell you there's another way. Open this word. Ask him to teach you. Follow what it says. Don't think, oh man, boy, this is going to be a hard morning. How am I going to do this, right? Because the very next thing in Ephesians 5 is after wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. There's a tall order. I dare you. Just try to do that by yourself, okay? You're going to fail miserably. Do that empowered by the Spirit. It will change everything. That's the only way we can do those things that we have been called to do and called to live that's different than the world around us. What if everything is about the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life? And what we really have to admit is most of us just run on empty. And we're not helping anybody. We're not a witness. When I run empty, I'm not a witness to nothing. Okay? Nothing. Nobody. Like, stay away. Right? That would be, I'm just going to put a sign on the door. Empty, leave. Okay? Don't come in. Right? Because I am no good to anybody when I'm empty. I'm no good to my wife when I'm empty. I'm no good to my son when I'm empty. I am no good to anybody in this church when I'm empty. I want you to recognize that as well. You are good to nobody, doing nothing when you're on empty. Daily filling, daily surrender is the way we walk with Jesus. So I want to pray for us this morning. Because the only way you deal with empty is you realize you're empty. And you again cry out Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Spirit once again. Because the only way you're going to survive and live. If you're hoping that every Sunday you come in and, oh, I got my filling for the... No, it doesn't work that way. It's not a gas gauge. I can just keep going. Yeah, it's red. I got a few more miles. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And there you are at the side of the road, okay? Don't do that. Daily filling, daily surrender, that we would be filled with the Spirit. So let's pray on this Pentecost Sunday that once again, we would be filled with the Spirit, that we would operate out of the overflow that the Spirit is producing in our lives. Jesus, we asked that your promise would be fulfilled again. We know at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit lives within us. How much control, surrender we give to your Spirit, well, that's a whole nother matter. And most of us have not learned this. Most of us are running on empty, living lives that are a witness to nobody, that we are your followers. We are at our worst. This is not what you have created. You've created for us to be filled. Daily surrender, daily filling. And I pray, Father, if nothing else today, we would surrender again, afresh and anew here. That those online would do the same thing. And we would just ask for you to fill us again. Because your word says we have a calling. Calling as men, a calling as women, a calling as husbands, a calling as wives, a calling as parents, grandparents. You've called us to live in such a way, inside out, with your Spirit overflowing in our lives. And we've ignored a lot of it, and we've taken a lot of cues from our culture. And we're a mess. We're empty. And we are not living out the calling you had for us. So we would ask you today to fill us afresh and anew. That we're not going after a checklist. We're going for the overflow of the Spirit. May we learn Jesus' dependence upon your Spirit. You said it was good you'd go away to leave us the Holy Spirit. May we experience that afresh and anew today as we surrender and as we experience your filling. We pray all this in Jesus' name.